I'm going to share with you a couple, and they're not in your notes, so you might want to write these down. The Bible says that Stephen saw Jesus. This is Acts 7:55. Stephen said, "But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father." Listen, he's getting ready to get stoned to death. Heaven opens up, and Stephen, with his own eyes, before he dies and goes into the throne room, the Bible says he literally sees Jesus standing. I believe this is the only one. There might be one other place in the Word of God where Jesus is standing. Every other one, he's seated on the throne. And I've heard it said that he stood in the honor of the martyr coming home. And he stood. And Stephen was taken. In Isaiah 6, the Bible says, "In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple." And the reason I want you to see all these parallels so that you don't just try to say, "Oh, you know, John was hallucinating." The exact same vision is in 10 to 15 different books in the Bible laid out. The throne room, what was in the throne room, what they saw, every one of them parallel with one another. And I believe God gives us glimpses of the throne room so that we can believe and so that we can know and be responsible to tell. In Ezekiel 1, it lays out the exact same thing that John saw in 4. Ezekiel 1 says the same thing. Exactly, you can read it. Paul, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12, says he was caught up into the third heaven and he saw things he could not even tell of. So Paul had this experience as well. Jesus, the Bible said, at his baptism, heaven was opened up for Jesus. At his baptism, it says that as he went down to be baptized, heaven opened up, a dove came down, which the dove is a picture of what? If you know what that's a picture of? The Holy Spirit, and rested upon him. Heaven opened up, he saw his Father on his throne, the dove came and rested, Holy Spirit, and this is Jesus being baptized. There's so many parallels of the Trinity in the Bible, it's amazing. It says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened up, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove on him. I love this verse, it's in 1 Kings 22:19, and this is Micaiah, and it says, Micaiah saw the Lord sitting on his throne. So the reason I wanted to use all these parallels so you don't just think that it's a book of the Revelation that John saw it. Time and time and time again, God revealed the throne room, and he will reveal the throne room to you if you want to see it. There's so many times when I'm out walking, and I know I told you guys I'm like the crazy lady that walks, and you know, when I see people coming, I quit talking because they think I'm talking to myself. At least I put on headphones now so they think I'm on the phone. I usually have my phone plugged in, and so I'm not the crazy lady. But I literally walk and I want to see the throne room. I've seen it supernaturally through the book of the Revelation. I can put the pieces together of what it looks like, but I just want a glimpse. I just kind of want a glimpse. I just want to see him. And there are times when I'm in my worship. Have you ever just been in your worship and you've gotten a glimpse of heaven? You've gotten a glimpse of glory and you're like, you know it and you're there in your spirit, man. I wanted to explain one thing to you because you may not quite understand this. You say, "Tammy, I'm confused because there's times in the Bible where it says God is on the throne, and then there's times that I've read that Jesus is on the throne. So who's on the throne? Are their thrones next to each other, and whose throne's bigger, and why?" No, there is one throne, and Jesus sits on the throne. The picture is, I'm going to read this to you because I did quite a bit of study on this. It's actually called a Greek parallelism. And what it means face-to-face, one throne, equality. Jesus sat down at the right hand of God the Father on the throne. It says it was a picture of perfect unity and harmony in the Godhead. Now remember, God is spirit. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Remember, he is spirit, and he sent his Holy Spirit. That's the manifestation of who he is when he sent the Holy Spirit to us. But Jesus sits on the throne. God inhabits all of heaven. God is all of heaven. But you will see Jesus on the throne of God. Jesus sits on that throne. I want you to see three things in our time together tonight that I think is so good. Number one, what is the throne of God? It is eternal. It is eternal. The definition of eternal is lasting or existing forever without beginning or end. I'm going to try to wrap my head around this as much as I can. Forever. It never ends. Forever. Perfect for eternity. Have you ever been somewhere and you say, "I wish this would never end"? You're at a place, you're with your family, it's Christmas morning, you're just wherever you are, and you just want to hold on to that moment, a perfect sunset, a perfect sunrise, a perfect moment with a spouse or a child, do you realize in heaven that it will forever be like that? It never runs out. The perfect unity with God, the perfect feeling, sensation, picture is eternal. And it's so hard for us in our humanity to wrap our head around eternity. But when sometimes I'm sitting there praying and I'm in this state of, my son Josh, again, was, like I said, was here. And often, if you may wonder, like, I'm not fighting with Pastor Phil on Sunday mornings, but I like to go over by myself. Like, I sit on the end over here because I just want to be alone. I don't want him raising his hand and I'm wondering what he's doing. I don't want him hitting me in the head. I go over there alone. Usually I run into Natalie. She's in the corner over there too, right? Because I've got to position myself to receive what I believe Holy Spirit wants to show me. So I sing the songs. I think about the songs. I worship. There may be something I need to confess. There may be something the Holy Spirit's speaking to me. I have to position myself to receive. Does that make sense to you? So sometimes when I'm in that supernatural moment, I literally get this moment. In heaven, I will have this forever. This perfect moment. I'm not thinking about anything. I'm not thinking about anyone. I am in a perfect state. That's what unity was with God in Eden. Shout out for our women's conference. In Eden before the fall. Perfect unity with God. And that's what I want you to understand. Part of being in this throne room, guys, is forever, eternally perfect. If that's not enough for you to want to go to heaven, I don't know what is. Because you're in this perfect state eternally with unity. A relationship with God, and this is a great quote, I think Pastor Phil used it a couple weeks ago. A relationship with God that does not stir up that realm of mystery and wonder is an inferior relationship. Are you numb with your relationship with God? Do you have just enough? Or are you curious for the things of God? Are you pressing in and you want more and you'll fight for it and you'll ask for it and you'll wait for it? You have what you want. Some of us are obsessed with certain things and we spend so much time. It's a vocation that we love, a passion that we love, a blog that we love, a TV show that we love, whatever it is that you do. And you know it so well because you spend time with it. Let me ask you, when's the last time that you spent that quality of time in the throne room of God, about the things of God, pressing into the Spirit of God, because your eternity matters. And how many of you feel this way? It's like, okay, I know I'm saved and I'm going to go there. But I really literally believe that when we are in the presence of the Almighty God, I will only have regret for what I did not do here on earth. And I don't mean the goods that I did, the works that I did. I mean the fact that I could have had here and now what I will have then in the supernatural realm if I understood it. I really believe that. I believe when I get glimpses of heaven and when I'm really walking with God and I'm under the fullness of the Holy Spirit and I'm just right there, I can live in that state as much as I want to. Now, usually it's about 3 to 4 minutes before Phil makes me mad or somebody disrupts me or I get burdened with my all the stuff I have to do. But in that moment of just complete unity with God, being filled with His Spirit, being loved by Him, not criticizing myself, is a glimpse of eternity. I love a couple verses I want to share with you. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. Just meditate. He's on the throne and He has a scepter. He's ruling with a scepter. What is a scepter? What does it say a scepter is? What's the scripture say right there? Scepter of what? Justice. Justice. He is a just God. And until you bow your head before a just God, you'll never fully be inhabited by Him. And you can read the other verses. I want to keep going on. We have so many more, but please read through those. There's 4 or 5 under that point right there about it being an eternal God. But I want to move on. Number 2, the thing about the throne that's so beautiful, it's a covenant with humanity. Do you remember we read it said that there was an emerald rainbow around the throne? Now get this picture, an emerald rainbow. It's not the rainbow that we saw with Noah's Ark, that it was half of a rainbow. The Bible says it was a complete circle around the throne, a circle around the throne. Let's look at a couple of verses here. A covenant actually means an agreement, a commitment, a guarantee, or a promise. And here's what God's saying. He didn't just create the rainbow after the flood. The rainbow was always around, always around, always around the throne because the covenant with God is always there. The covenant. Do you remember what the rainbow was? Do you remember Noah's Ark and it, He flooded the earth, and then he gave the rainbow in the sky as a commitment to a covenant, I will never flood the earth again. He didn't just create the rainbow that day. The rainbow always existed as a covenant agreement around the throne of God. He always had a covenant with his people. And I want you to think about a covenant with God. And a covenant is an agreement. And as I was studying this, I began to think about the covenants I've made with God. You know, when we make a covenant in a marriage, we're coveting to a man that we will be faithful to them, love them. It's an agreement. It's a promise. But I began thinking about the covenants that I make with God. And when I make a covenant with God, it's an agreement. And I don't always fall, I do always fall short of my covenant, but he never falls short of his covenant. And it's all around the throne. It's a beautiful picture. It says, he who sat there was like jasper and astartes stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. The beautiful thing, guys, and I study it. Why an emerald, God? Why an emerald? Emerald was the stone of the tribe of Judah. Jesus was of the tribe of Judah. It's a beautiful picture that this emerald stone, you know, all the tribes were given a certain colored stone. And this emerald one came from Jesus because he was the tribe of Judah. And it's a beautiful picture that it was a covenant with his people from the very beginning. You can read about it again in Ezekiel 1:28. It says, this lightning sounded around him, and like a rainbow in the clouds on a rainy day, this is what the shining greatness of the Lord looked like. I fell on my face, and I heard a voice speaking. I'm telling you guys, when you really get in the presence of God, and you've had an experience where he touches you, and you've had an experience where he anoints you, and you have felt his love, all you can do is bow and say, holy, holy, holy. There is nothing that will come out of your mouth but holy, holy, holy. There won't be questions then. I know we get to heaven and we kind of talk about the time when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God. I kind of have a feeling that when we get to heaven, all you're going to be able to say is holy, holy, holy. There will be no other word for you to say. The last thing I want you to see is that there is power and authority. It says, and we do not rest day or night, but say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. In the Greek language, the word Almighty means master and ruler of all. Master and ruler of all. It means one who has his hand on everything. You, O Lord, are worthy to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist. All will bow before the throne of God. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, of course, and he is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. I want to ask you guys right now, when's the last time that you took a trip to the throne room? I mean you, just by yourself. That you really got a picture of the throne of the living God. There is a throne. I'm assuming it's going to be a picture of the throne like we think a throne is. A king is on, he is seated. We'll get into the rest of it the next few weeks with the 24 elders. And the lightning and the flashes of thunder, and they're all coming out of his mouth and what that means. But right now, I want to ask you about this throne. And everyone in here has the opportunity to submit themselves to let God sit on the throne or to remove him from the throne of our life. And every one of us in our own life, I'm sure at times, have been ruler over our own life. But right now, I know in this house that there are plenty of women who are struggling with decisions. And some are over their marriage, and some are over vocations, and some are over relationships, and some are over, am I compromising someone that I'm with and I shouldn't be with? Somewhere I'm going and I shouldn't be going. And guys, believe me, this is not a guilt message. I'm not trying to guilt you into saying you're doing something bad. I'm just simply saying in your spirit, is Holy Spirit saying it's been a while since I've been on that throne? And I love you, and I give you free will, and I give you opportunity, and I give you gifts and talents, and I love you so dearly, baby girl, but I really haven't been leading you. And to be truthful, you're living in a culture of Laodicea, where most of you haven't felt me in a long time. And guys, it's not enough to just feel him. It has to be a sustained relationship with Holy Spirit. It means walking in the presence. There's no certain formula other than just releasing your will to his will, releasing your rights to his sovereignty, allowing Holy Spirit, not in a weird, mystical, crazy, weary way, but in a supernatural way, to love you. I'm going to ask you to stand with me right now as we close, and I want you to get a picture of that throne room right now, and if you'd be so willing in your heart, I want to pray right now over Carrie and Guy Bailey. We will not stop praying. We will not stop asking. We will not stop believing. We just will not. And if you know Carrie, and if you want to go place your hands on her, Carrie, I hope that's okay. I love you, baby. Would you just begin to believe with me right now? Now, when we get a glimpse of the throne room, and it's so beautiful, I can imagine why someone would not want to leave that scene, that experience, the presence of the Holy Spirit. But we're going to pray that Guy would be ready to come home. And we pray by faith, and we pray where two or three are gathered in my name, there you are in the midst. And so as women begin to pray right now, both for strength over Carrie, renewed faith over Carrie, would you just join me also? And you may need to pray for yourself, girlfriend. As I pray, you may need to pray. This we call this kind of an invitation. It's an invitation for you to pray what you need to pray to the God that loves you more than you'll ever love yourself. And maybe it's a confession of being on the throne. Maybe it's a renewal of his rightful place. Maybe it's just a glimpse of that beautiful throne and that beautiful scene in heaven that is going on all over and over. Holy, 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 holy. Father God, we have fought in our faith for a year for Guy. And God, I know that he's there and he is alert and he is responding. And I know, God, that he has seen glimpses of heaven. I have no doubt. There's times where I just see him smile, and I know he's seen things that I long to see. He's probably been places I haven't been yet in my spirit, man. But God, we want to ask in the name of Jesus right now. God, we ask in the name of Jesus right now that Guy would be released and feel compelled to come back. Father, to be completely healed in Jesus' name. Everything in his body is healed. Everything in his mind is healed. And the Father, he comes back with stories, because God, we believe in miracles. But we believe in miracles, and we believe in healings, and we believe in restoration, and we believe by faith that you want to do something. God, we will fight for it. We give up too easy. It's too easy to go, well, maybe it's not supposed to happen. But God, until you show us otherwise, we're going to believe. And I pray over my sister Carrie right now that we would be a body of women that love her, surround her, support her, intercede for her and her family and her boys. And Father, I don't think you teach us these things just to have a mental picture. I think you teach us these things to have faith. So as we have experienced a visual picture and hopefully a supernatural experience in the throne room, God, we ask that you do more. You give us more, and you do more, and you expand our faith to believe you for more. I thank you for every woman in this place. And God, as I close right now, my last prayer, as it's been so often, is that we would just see so much more. That there would be an awakening in our country. There would be awakening in our homes. There would be waking in our hearts. And a revival would hit this Laodicean culture that we live in. And we'd press in to the things of God. We were created for unity with you. We're created to inhabit the praises. We pray for supernatural encounters in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I didn't cough the last 20 minutes. Praise God. Hey, guys, I love you. You know, it's kind of like a baby that you're just spoon feeding a little bit. You just got a little bit. Go home and gnaw on that bone. Get out the Word of God and study Revelation 4 and study the throne room of God. If you're new with us tonight, come on up this way. I'll assign you to a group. But go to your groups quickly. Spend some time with your small groups, with your questions. Love on each other. Hug on each other. And appreciate one another. Thanks so much, guys.